you thankful for every time he made a way when there was no way. I'm looking around this room and I see a lot of people should not be here because the devil tried to wipe you out. But if you're like me, you should, every once in a while, you got to shake your fist at the devil and say, you should have killed me when you had a chance. But my God, come on, somebody say, my God. My God has always made a way. My God has always seen me through. He reached way down. See, I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I can't come to church and act like he didn't do much for me, because he reached way down to get me. He brought me out of some stuff. He brought me out of some muck and some mar and some messes, and he's brought me through. And when I get in his presence, I can't hardly contain myself. I can't hardly believe. I can't hardly believe it yet that he would choose me, save me. Yes, I give you praise, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we're glad that you're here today. Thank you, singers. We appreciate our singers and our musicians, don't we? We appreciate them leading us before the throne today. Praise the name of the Lord. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, and so I would like to appreciate myself today. No, I'm kidding. We also take this month to appreciate the ministry of our church. I guess I'm not ready to take this off yet. And so it's going to be kind of tough catching everybody this year because we're in different services and different places. But I do want to, Brother Barrow, if you can unburden yourself of all the earphones and wires and all that stuff that you got on and come down here. And while you're making your way, Brother Deckard, would you and your wife come up here? We want to recognize you as ministers in our church. Brother Deckard is such a great man of God, and he and his wife came to our church within the last year, and they have done so much, and we appreciate your ministry, brother. He's a licensed minister with the United Pentecostal Church, but he is a great guy. They're just great people. And brother and sister Decker, we want you to know from Turning Point that we appreciate you. Could we do a mock handshake? And we love you so much. God bless you. Would you let them know how much you appreciate them and their sweet family? Amen. We appreciate them. Yes, yes, yes. Brother Southern and Sister Southern, if you would come forward. Brother, Sister Southern, of course, are our young married pastors, and we sure do appreciate them. These are just loyal, steady people. And every once in a while, Brother Southern, I just think about you and your wife and how much you mean to our church, how much you mean to me. And these are people that they're just, anything you ask them to do, they're there for you. And we appreciate that. My wife and I want you to know how much we appreciate Brother and Sister Southern. We love you. God bless you. Thank you. Sister Barrow, what can I say about the Barrows? They are just great people, and we appreciate them so much. And this is another couple right here. Anything that I need done, I know I can ask them. And if he doesn't know how to do it, he'll find out in 5 minutes. He will. I'm not kidding. He'll study it out, and he will figure it out. And all of our live streaming capability was his vision. 6 years ago, this time, and I remember that because I was in the hospital having heart surgery the night before my surgery. I watched our first ever live stream from Bloomington Hospital. I lay there and wept and worshiped with you all, and I thought, oh wow, we've got to grow this ministry. And so we've spent money this past year. We got a $5,000 grant to upgrade all of our cameras and those kind of things. And Brother Barrow has just been a driving force behind that. But not only that, he's a care minister in our church. They're over our music ministry, he and his wife. And I'm leaving stuff out, but they just, anything you need him to do. We appreciate you so much, brother. Thank you, you and your wife. We love you. God bless you. Amen. And the rest of them are either not here right now, or they're in other parts of the building, and we give them 3 strikes. If they're not here in 3 services, it goes to my wife and me. So, I'm kidding. Aren't you glad to be here today? I am glad to be here. I miss when I'm out of the house of God. We had a great time last week, but it's not the same as being here with you, gathered together in the name of the Lord. So, pardon me just a minute, because I'm going to switch gears. There, I've done it. I love technology. I can switch gears like that anymore. I used to have to dig. Go with me, if you would, to John, the 6th chapter. You don't know it, but I just switched sermons that quick. You want to see what I was going to preach? Watch it, 1:30. The Lord just switched you guys around on me. Those are secrets of the trade. We don't always tell you all this stuff. I usually just hit the button, but I feel like I should tell you that God wanted you to hear this. John 6 and verse 66 is where I'd like you to go. This is a pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus and his disciples. And when I say his disciples, I don't simply mean the 12. I mean the multitudes that followed Jesus were also disciples. They followed Jesus, but some of them followed more closely and some of them followed more completely. And here is a very pivotal moment of separation. How many of you know there are some people that will go with you for a way, and there's some people that will go with you a little further, and then you got a few, very select. If you have a handful in your life, you're very blessed to have people that would go with you to the very end of the world. And Jesus is finding out here who those people are. And in chapter 6, I need just a little bit more monitor, Tyler. In chapter 6, Jesus begins shifting from just miracles to talking to them about who he is. And when he begins to talk about who he is, not just what he does, but who he is, he begins to say, I'm the bread. That manna in the Old Testament that fed your fathers, I'm the bread. I'm that bread come down from heaven. He begins to talk to them. In fact, he is very clearly saying to them, I'm the promised Messiah. And there were many that were okay with him being a teacher and a miracle worker and a way maker. But when he began to talk about being Lord, from that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back. They went back wherever they had come from. Think of this. Many of them had left their jobs, their lives, their homes, their neighborhoods, their families, and followed Jesus. But when Jesus began to talk about, if you're going to walk with me, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but if you're going to follow me, my kingdom's not about this earth. You won't be comfortable in this earth like foxes and birds. It's about heavenly kingdom. And from that time, many of his disciples went back. They went back to their jobs, their families, their homes, their lives, and they walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, will you also go away? Lord, I ask you to speak to us today in your word. Speak to this wonderful group of people. Let us hear from heaven and let it change us and quicken us is my prayer. If you're in agreement with that, I wish you put your Bibles down and just clap your hands to the Lord for about 30 seconds. Give him some praise. Yes, yes, yes. And you may be seated. Thank you for standing. Many of you have been standing the whole service. Thank you. Will you also go away? That's a big question. Thousands of them were with him up to a certain point, but then he begins to speak about, if you're going to follow me, and the Bible says that many of his disciples went back. It's a weird feeling to lose people. And I'm not just talking about as a pastor. I can tell you as a pastor, it's a hard thing to lose people. It's those dreaded, I've already given you one little trade secret. I'll give you another. One of the most dreaded words a pastor hears is right before service when somebody sneaks up and says, Pastor, if we could talk to you right after service. You know you're getting ready to have a humdinger of service right then, because you know they don't come up to you and say that whenever they're getting ready to say, we'd just like to bless you with $1,000 check for the building fund. We'd just like to tell you how great you've been preaching. It's usually, it's one of those conversations. Well, we've just been talking and we've been thinking and we've been praying and we think we're going to go someplace else. It's a weird feeling. I remember the first time it happened to me as a pastor. I took it so personal, and it was hard because you feel like people that were with you have abandoned you. They've forsaken you. That's been a long time, and I'm a little bit older. I don't see things the same way I used to see things. I understand now not everything's personal, and everybody has their reasons, and some people do need to leave. Some people do need to move on. Some people need to go. It's not always about me. It's not always about me and my wife and my family or our church. It's just sometimes people, but I didn't understand that early on. It's weird to lose people. If you've ever been through divorce, thank God, praise the Lord, I have not experienced that. But if you've ever had a spouse tell you, it's over, I'm moving on, I'm leaving, I can't imagine what that would feel like, the abandonment that you would feel, forsaken, left. Jesus deals with this on a real level when many of his disciples that were singing his praises yesterday because, wow, we love to watch you heal people. Think of this. Many of them had probably brought sick people to Jesus, and he had healed them. Many of them had seen the miracles and the marvelous ways through which he would move and the things that he would say. They were amening him yesterday, and they were leaving him today because now he's going to a level. Now, let me say this to you. Don't get discouraged because not everybody who's with you today will always be with you tomorrow. And if you cannot adjust and understand that some people God brings into your life for a season. Can you hang with me? When you're building, you bring in certain tools, Brother Southern. Scaffolding is not a permanent fixture. Scaffolding is there for a season. You bring it in so you can build, so you can reach certain heights, but there's a certain time that scaffolding will go on to another location and you stay there and you finish the job because you've moved on to other things. Now, I'm not cheapening relationships. I'm simply saying that there are times God brings people into our lives and they are scaffolded. They're just scaffolding. They're there to help you reach a new area. And if you can't let go of transitionary people, then you will crash and burn very quickly. And if you cannot come to terms with the fact that just because somebody leaves you doesn't mean they hate you. I'm not going to get any help in here today. The only people amen at me are the ones that I just gave cards to. Literally, that's all I heard. Amen, amen. I'll bring y'all cards next week if you amen me a couple of times, all right? Just because somebody says, you know, Brother Chad, if somebody comes into you that works for you and says, you know, brother, or sir, maybe they call you sir on the job. I don't know if they call you brother. You know, I found another opportunity that's double the pay. You're not going to get mad at them if they take an opportunity that doubles the pay. You've done that yourself, I'm sure. All of you have been there where you had to leave a certain place. I've switched to doctors. I've switched dentists. You know what I'm talking about? I've switched the people that changed my oil in my car now aren't the same people that's always changed the oil in my car. Now, I know that's different when we get to the church setting. I understand that. But I'm simply saying that people that served you yesterday, they may not serve you today. And you will go into growth. You will move into more maturity levels where people that were helping you get there, they may not be able to go with you there. I will tell you, as you grow in the Lord, people that were your friends last year may not be your friends this year because you woke up one day and realized, you know, that gossiping that's not of God, and God convicted you of it. And if you can't let go of the ring of gossipers in your life, you'll be stuck there forever. You know, the guys I hang out with, they tell dirty jokes and they say off-color things and that's just not very, and God wakes you up one day and says, you know, I've got bigger things for you than sitting around talking about the last thing you watched on Netflix. I've got things for you to do in the kingdom. And if you cannot move on from certain areas and certain circles and understand not everybody will go with you, and people that were praising you yesterday and cheerleading for you yesterday because you were doing what they like to do. And Jesus says, okay, I understand that not everybody in the multitudes is going to go with me, but I do hope I've got some people that will stay with me. And he turns from the multitudes and he looks at the 12. Now, I don't need everybody to go with me all the time, but I need some people that I know will be there to the very end of my journey. I pray that I've got some people that will never abandon me, never transition away from me. They'll be with me if I'm doing well, and they'll be with me when I'm not doing well. They'll cheer me on when I'm succeeding, and they'll pray for me when I'm failing. Do you hope you got somebody like that in your life? We need to be those kind of people. Not just seek them for us, but be them for others. Jesus looks at the 12 and says, here's the real question. I want you to notice this. Jesus didn't yell at the multitude, "Where are you going? Get on back here. Oh, I was good enough for you yesterday, but I'm not good enough for you today, huh?" Jesus never cops an attitude. Next time you try to cop an attitude, why don't you think about that little bracelet that used to be so popular? WWJD, remember that? What would Jesus do? We had to have a bracelet to remind us. I guess some of us did. But why don't you think about that next time you start to cop an attitude about somebody? What would Jesus do here? Jesus never, the only people we ever really see Jesus tell off are religious hypocrites and people that were setting up in the temple as money changers. He turned over their tables, but everybody else in his life, he was patient, meek, kind, loving, even when they left him. Think of this, on the cross, as he's drawing his last breath, his last words included, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing, Lord." Wow. And here they are, here he is being abandoned by the multitudes, and he lets them go. But he turns to the 12 and says to them, "Will you also go away?" This is the true test, because these are the hand-picked, personally chosen 12. He did not go to the multitudes and say, "Leave your fishing boat." He went to the 12. And now he needs to know, "Will you also go away?" There's a good word you ought to grab a hold of and include it in part of your daily prayer vocabulary. That word is steadfast. 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 I'll stay the course. I'll be steadfast. I'll hang on to this doctrine. I'll be steadfast. I will not give up. I'll be steadfast. I will not walk away from you, Jesus. I'll be steadfast. I won't give up on my church. I'll be steadfast. I won't give up in these last days when everybody else seems like they're getting cold or they're falling away. I will be steadfast. I will hold fast to the doctrine that has been delivered to me. Somebody shout, steadfast. I want you to shout it, steadfast. I want you to shout it loud, steadfast. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop. I'm not turning around. Lord, if you were to ask me today, will you also go away? I want you to know my answer is a forever no, sir. I'm with you. I'm going to stay. I will be steadfast. I will hold fast to the doctrine. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not going away. I'll be here to the end. That's, you got to get your mind made up. I'm not going anywhere, Jesus. I know we all understand he'll never leave us nor forsake us, but what about you ever think he might want to know from you? Lord, I'm thankful you'll never leave me, but I want you to know I'm never going to leave you. Or Brother Hawkins, that's a foolish promise. You never know what you're going to do tomorrow. Y'all, that's a foolish thing to say too. Because you got to make up your mind. People that are saying, "Well, I hope I never fail. I pray I never fail." You got to get your mind made up. I intend to finish the race. I'm persuaded, I'm convinced, I'm sold out, steadfast. Will you also go away? And I love the answer of Simon Peter. In verse 68, when he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." I want you to notice two or three things here, maybe just two for time. But Peter's answer is telling. When he says to the Lord, he doesn't say, "To what shall we go?" or "To where would we go?" But "To whom shall we go?" This is the first thing you need to get from this. This walk with God must be a personal relationship with whom, not what. Worship. Everybody say worship. Worship is your relationship. I'm going to help you understand what I'm talking about here. Relationship. Worship is part of your relationship. What we were doing up here a while ago, singing, what you were doing out there, singing and praising and raising your hands, that is an expression. That is not your experience. That is your expression of your experience. If your experience is purely based on what you do here, paying your tithes, showing up to church, singing the songs, checking on people once in a while. If that is your relationship, if that is your experience, then you will, I don't mean to be the doomsayer here, but you will, when things get rough, you will go away. The people that I have seen walk away from the Lord, now notice what I'm saying, not the church. The people that I've seen walk away from the Lord are very few. You say, Brother Hawkins, I know many, many people that have walked away from the Lord. Well, you probably know more people that have walked away from the church. They probably never really had a real experience with the Lord. It is very difficult to have an experience with the Lord and just turn away from the Lord. Now, it is possible to have an experience with the Lord, get cold, we get lukewarm, then we get cold, we're sitting on a pew, and we get to the point where we're connecting through the mechanics of church. It's about church. Well, I'm in the church. Well, thank God. Do you have a relationship with the God of the church is the question. Where are you going today? Well, I'm going to church. That's great. I say the same thing, and I even tell you at the end of every phone call, see you at church, right? And it's great to come to church, but if all you ever do is come to church, you can leave the church very easily. It is easy to leave the church when the preacher preaches something that you don't like, if all your experience is with the church. It is easy to walk away when somebody doesn't shake your hand or they look at you the wrong way or you get crossways with somebody in the church, because let's face it, we're all human. We're going to have our issues every once in a while. We won't always agree. And if all you ever connect with is the church, the singing, the music, the programs, the gathering, the people, the family atmosphere, the good feeling that it provides, and then something goes wrong with the church, you can easily walk away from the church. What I'm saying to you is it's got to be more about whom and not what. Well, I'm going to go down there to that church. They've got a great children's program there, and I've got 12 kids. And we're looking for a church with a good children's program. Wonderful. I hope we meet your needs. We hope we meet your desires. But if you're just coming and dropping your kids off in Sunday school and you're using this as a waiting room, things will get tough. One of these days, Brother Pace or Sister Pace or one of the teachers, they're going to say something to one of your children because they're acting up, and they're going to snap their fingers. They know you need to straighten up, and they're going to come and say, Mama, you know. They snapped their fingers, and you're going to say, they did what? And because it was a what thing and not a whom thing, you'll spend all week shopping for the next children's program. This is not about what. This is about whom. If you don't connect to the whom of the church, you'll be in the multitudes that will walk away. I'm trying to help you today. Do we need good programs? Absolutely. Do we need good systems? I believe in it wholeheartedly. If you don't think so, ask any of our leaders. I'm about systems, organization. I believe in all of that. But that is all supplemental. Ask any of them. In our meetings, in our training sessions, the thrust is always, we're here to honor God. His kingdom is first. If you're not on board with that, don't be in our leadership team, because our thrust is relationship, and our thrust is to bring everybody within our reach into a more pure, deeper relationship with God. I hope you sense that when we're up here singing, our musicians are here. I hope you understand we're not up here practicing so we can sound good. What we're doing when we're saying, come on, we're not saying, come on, celebrate our talent. No, come on, worship God with us, because this is not about what, this is about whom. When we sing, we're not singing to and with the musicians. We are singing to our God. This is a whom thing. To whom shall we go? Lord, we are here for you. You could stop doing miracles right now and we would never leave. You could stop multiplying the loaves and fishes. You could stop healing our sick family members, and we are here for you. To whom would we go? Everybody say, it's a whom thing. You'll probably never say that again in your whole life. That's a weird thing to say, but it is a whom thing. I hope it sticks with you. To whom shall we go? And then look at the second thing here. He says, you have the words of eternal life. So this is a whom thing. It's a relationship. And it's also an eternity thing. They were able, and this is unique, especially at this point in time, it was unique for 12 men, maybe 11, if you want to kick Judas to the curb already. 11 men to look past the miracles and see whom, and to look past the temporary and see the eternal. But we must. If you're going to be steadfast, please tune in at 1:30 or watch it later, because I just realize how much that message will tie in with this one. But if you're going to make it, you're going to have to see the eternal. You must operate in the eternal. You must think in terms of the eternal. You must pray in terms of the eternal. You must worship in terms of the eternal. When you come to church, it can't be about the temporary, or else you will get mad because the drums are too loud. You will get mad because the altos missed a note. Aren't you glad the tenors didn't miss any notes today? If it's all about the temporal, those are the ones griping about the temperature every week. Hey, it's always too hot. It's always too cold. It's always too hot. It's always too cold. If you think in the eternal, hell's going to be real hot. Huh? Forever. For eternity. If you think in the temporal, you come to church and you say, well, I just don't, so-and-so's just, they're just a snob. So-and-so, I just don't like their attitude. I just don't like their personality. If you think in the temporal, you'll think those things. You'll say those things. You'll go to lunch and talk about those things. But when you think in eternal terms, you see not that teenager who's really getting on your nerves right now, but you see a soul. When you think in eternal terms, you don't think about, they better straighten up right now. You think in terms of, oh God, I want them to make heaven. It's a whom thing and it's an eternal thing. And these men saw that. They saw past the temporal and they saw the eternal. And tapping into those two realities caused them, in fact, I would say it thrusted them into this decision. We could never leave you. We know too much. That's really what they're saying. When he says, you have the words of eternal life. And in fact, he says in 69, we believe and are sure. We know too much to turn back. Too much information has soaked into our brains and seeped down into our spirits. We've seen too much, heard too much. We've witnessed too much. We know too much. In fact, we believe and are absolutely sure of who you are. We will not abandon you. To whom shall we go? We know and are sure. We know and are sure. We believe and are sure. I wonder if I've got anybody here today that believes and is sure that you want to serve God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Come on, are you sold out? Lord, we want you to know we're not still kicking the tires. We're not still trying you out. We're not taking you on a test drive. We believe and we are sure that you are the Son of the living God. When you cross that line, it will be life-changing. As long as the church is just a spiritual car lot and salvation is the car, and you're just kicking the tires. Do they still use that term? Kicking the tires, that's what we used to do in the old days. We didn't know what else to do, so we just kicked the tires. Looks like a good car. Didn't fall apart when I kicked the tires, I guess. Now, if you know anything about cars, you're going to say, yeah, let me look under the hood. Hey, get me something I can get under the car. Look under here. See if anything's leaking. See if anything sounds all right. You don't kick the tires. You look at the tires. You measure the tread. You want to get in it. You know, give me the keys. Let me hear this thing start up. Let me take it for a test drive. I want to see the way it handles. I want to go through some curves. Yeah. that's all. But you can do all of that stuff, and you're not committed, because you can take it out and do 100 on the highway, and it can handle just great. And you can, don't do that, by the way. Some of you mamas are looking at me like, why would you tell my teenage son? You can't do that. That's against the law. But you could if it wasn't against the law. And you could bring that thing back all smoking and the engine's hot and bring it in there. It's a great car. And give the salesman the keys and walk away. It's not your car. This is the way some people are with the Lord. They show up every Sunday. This is just a car lot. This is just, let's see. I don't know. I might want to serve the Lord. I might not. I want to stay close to the church. I don't want to really sign on. I don't really want to commit my life. You're not sure. You might believe, but you're not sure. You're not even sure if you believe. But the moment you get to that point where you are sure, it'll change your life. Amen. My wife and I are in a transitionary period right now. Oh, wow. I just about started crying, and I didn't see that coming. But my daughter, some of you may know, but my daughter got married last week. So we're not only dealing with our daughter having got married, but this thing I've heard a lot of you talk about, empty nest. We're dealing with that now. We're transitioning. We're in a period. And so it's caused me to kind of go down memory lane. We've been doing a lot of reflecting and talking about, remember when? But my daughter getting married and all of that, it's caused me to kind of, in my own mind, I've been thinking about my wife and my beginnings and our journey. I remember the first time I saw her, I remember that, and I'll get a little mushy, and Angie, you just deal with it. My wife's older sister. Oh, I shouldn't have said older, but you that wasn't a slam. But she's the oldest, and I know how old, I'm an oldest child too. So Sister Angie and I have had to work on our oldest children issues through the years, you know. I took her baby sister from. Anyway, that's another sermon. We'll tune in at 1:30. I'll talk about that one. But I remember the first time I saw her. And you know, if anybody you've ever looked at somebody and, oh, you know, I laid eyes on her. And I thought, man, I think I'd like to ask her out. And then it went from, I think I'd like to ask her out to, I'm sure I want to ask her out. Now, back in those days, you didn't say, hey, Siri, call Cindy Axum. Hey, pick up. I'm just kidding. you had to, first of all, you had to find the number. You had to look in the phone book. If you didn't live in the same area, you had to call information. And you had to say, Bloomington, Indiana. You had to find out her dad's name. You know, it was a big deal back then to call somebody up. And then we didn't have push-button phones in my house. We had to remember, anybody remember the rotary dial? Man, I feel like I'm 100 years old up here. Some of these kids are like, what? Phone on the wall, yes. And so you had to dial. I lived in Linton. She lived in Bloomington, so I had to dial the area code. And you know, the devil knew that I was finding my wife because he tried to talk me out of it. Fear, you know. Oh, I don't know. Fear of rejection and fear of this is a big deal. Oh, you know, the next number, the next number, the next number. And then you got to sit there and wait on it to ring. And then you got to, your mom or dad's going to answer the phone. And it's just a big deal. And I almost chickened out, I'll be honest with you. So I don't know how many times I've told her through the years, I'm so glad I didn't chicken out that day. So I called her and I said, hey, would you go out with me? And she said, oh, yes. And she said, absolutely. Who is this? No, I'm kidding. I'm joking. Anyway, she conceded to a date and then another date. And it just, but I remember that time, it didn't take very long that I went from believing that to being sure. She's the one. And it changed everything. Changed everything. Changed the way I thought. Once I was sure, I didn't see other girls and think, oh, I want to date them. Mm-mm. I was sure. I wasn't thinking about anymore. I was sure. Changes the whole way you relate to somebody. I'm committed. So I didn't date her and other people. I didn't date her and call other people. I didn't date her and I guess that's all we could have done back then, call other people. I was going to say text and all that. We didn't have all that back then, did we? I was sure. I'm just telling you, once you reach that point with the Lord that you are sure, all that other stuff, all the peripheral, it just kind of fades away. You don't think about, I think I'd like to flirt with the world. I think I'd like to flirt with being carnal. I think I'd like to get just as close to the world. I did not, once I was sure that she was the one, I didn't think in terms of, I wonder how much I could flirt with other girls and she not break up with me. I wonder if I could go on one date with somebody else and she not break up. That was not the way I thought. My thought was, I wonder what all I can do to impress her. I wonder what all I can do to make her sure about me. I wonder what I can do to prove myself to her. I wonder what I can do to show my love to her. That was all I could, that was what I was consumed about. Do y'all remember those times in your in that phase of your relationship where you're sitting around doodling and your doodles were Cindy? No, yours wasn't Cindy, but you just write each other's name. It's on your notebooks. It's on, you know, it's, I don't know what today's modern day doodling is, but back then we'd write it on our notebooks or we'd just, you know, it's just what we thought about because I was consumed with that. We need to get consumed with Jesus. Amen. Riding down the road in your car, you ought to see songs come to your mind about Jesus. Amen. You get a few minutes of time alone and you just want to talk to Jesus. Out in the park taking a walk, you just want to spend a little time talking to Jesus. Amen? It's what I'm about. We believe and are sure. You're the one. You're the one. You are the Christ. Listen to these words of Paul, 1 Corinthians 15. Behold, I show you a mystery, verse 51. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Are you looking forward to that day? Are you looking forward to that day when we are all changed? For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, watch this. Now, he's given us, what Paul is brilliant. He brilliantly places before us the reward, our destiny, the end of the journey, the revelation of the mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The trump's going to sound, talking about that day of the rapture of the church. Ha! It's going to happen. It's not very far away. It's upon us. That's what we're striving for. That's what we're walking toward. That's what we're fighting this fight for. It's that reward of heaven. But you can't just talk about the reward. Because you don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden you've reaped the reward. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Say it with me, steadfast. Say unmovable. Say always abounding. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. I'm going to ask you to say it one more time. I want you to stand. If you're able to stand, I want you to stand. I want you to get some gravel. Listen to me. Part of it's the way we say it. Is anybody mad at me in here? Good. I'm glad, because I'm getting ready to make somebody mad. So I want to make sure I'm not starting off with somebody already mad. You can't say steadfast, unmovable. See, I feel it. I've already made you mad. I'm not even done. Always abounding. If the devil shows up to you and says, are you going to sell out? And you say, well, I'm steadfast. He's going to kick you right in the teeth. Right, sure, you're steadfast. Okay, I knew that wouldn't go well. I love you. Trying to help you. Some of you, when you talk about your favorite presidential candidate, you'll get right up in somebody's face. I'll dare you right now. But we talk about being steadfast. You better be sure. I'm just going to tell you, you're not going to finish this race if you're just steadfast and unmovable. Brother, we better get some grit. Devil, I want you to know I am steadfast. I am unmovable. I will always be abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm not going anywhere. You ready? I want you to get some gravel in your voice. Come on. Take a deep breath and say, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. Raise your fist up now. Come on. Steadfast. Yeah. I like that. You don't have to have me. Unmovable. Always about. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to finish this race. I'm going all the way. I will be steadfast. I will be unmovable. I will always be abounding in the work of the Lord. God, I believe and I am sure. Hallelujah. If you would like prayer for anything personal today, you can come up and stand around the altar. We'll have somebody pray with you. Feel like we should do that today. If you want prayer, you can come. If you don't, you can. If you want to pray where you are, stay where you are. Let's take some time today and let's pray before the Lord. Would you let this message soak into your spirit today? Come on, somebody, just make up your mind. Lord, I'm not going anywhere.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. center of your church. Jesus, be the center of your church. And every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Come on, let's sing that name of
Jesus.
Let's raise the name of Jesus in this place.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Today, and that's your prayer. Why don't we raise our hands to Jesus right now? Why don't we magnify his name? Oh, we give you praise, Lord. You're worthy, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh yes, God, I pray you bless your people today. Strengthen us, Lord. God, that we be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Brother Pace, is your wife in here? Would you come up here, Brother Pace? Is your wife able to come over, or is she wrapped up right now? All right. We also, of course, we also, some of you are not, you don't see. Well, no, you do. I guess if you switch back and forth between the times. But Brother and Sister Worthen will be here in the next service. We'll honor them. Brother Sister Gunderman will be here next week. We'll honor them. Brother Sister Jordan Hawkins will honor them in our next service when he is here. And Zach and Clarissa Gunderman will honor them as well. Brother and Sister Pace, we're honoring our ministry today. And we appreciate, we're so glad that Brother Pace recovered and recovered well. Still getting over some little bit of tiredness, I think, but we're so thankful. We prayed for him, did we not? Prayed for your wife and your family. And we're so glad you're here, and we're glad that you recovered. Brother, we appreciate you and your ministry. We appreciate all that you and your wife do to make our children's ministry special and Turning Point a great place. Don't you love the Pace family? Brother, we appreciate you, brother. God bless you. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank God for good leadership. Good people that lead our church and help us in the work of the Lord. Amen. All right. God bless you. We're going to dismiss starting back here with the Ball family.